74-year-old security guard who sleeps throughout the night.
Is he 74?
That's what he said. I think somewhere in his 70s, yeah.
He's not stopping anything.
No. No way. I mean, and it's really a shame because I didn't know Coop's personality until now.
Yeah.
So we have only, out of the last 3 years, it's going to be 3 years, which is incredible that we've worked together. In the last 2.5 of those years, I didn't know that Coop had any sort of personality because he was asleep every time that I showed up.
Well, that and the fact that you can't understand him.
Right. That so, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that too. But he was still asleep. Like when I came in, he would be sleeping. Calhoun sometimes would be there and be awake. Mm-hmm. But it was mainly Coop sleeping, and I just didn't know. And then when I left, it was a whole set of new people that were in there. The shift change.
I just like him because
what? I just okay.
So it's unfortunate because we could have had a long-standing relationship with Coop.
Well, we did. They just didn't know it because when he gave the emergency announcement.
Well, that was Calhoun, I think.
Oh, was that Calhoun?
You don't hear that, Hoon?
That was Hoon who gave that.
Calhoun.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think that's it's either Calhoun or one of the other guys.
They wouldn't let Coop on the mic.
No.
It had to be Hoon.
You hear that, Hoon?
Oh, man. We're going to fire up in this bit.
Oh, you the man.
you the man.
Quit asking me why.
Yeah. Man, why? Anyway.
I just like him because somebody gotta lose or win, right?
I love, there's something, the fact that he says lose first, because everybody else would say somebody's got to win or lose, right? But he goes, somebody's got to lose or win. Right?
Somebody got to lose or win, right?
the disconnect from his brain to his mouth is just tragic. All right, so you've got a lot of teams in the league, in the NFL, that are messes. You got the New York Giants mess, mm-hmm. Cleveland Browns mess, mm-hmm. Broncos right now mm-hmm. mess, Buccaneers mess. Mm-hmm. Now, one that has had a little bit of fragrance sprayed on them because of the play of Jacoby Brissett.
Yep.
They've still got guys like Jack Doyle and T.Y. Hilton. They can play some offense. You didn't expect much out of them because you knew Andrew Luck wasn't starting the season. Has been the Indianapolis Colts. We haven't talked about them as much. But now, with all this Andrew Luck stuff happening, they are now shaping up into one of these unbelievable messes. And first you had the Andrew Luck not going to play this season, shutting him down news, and how it looked like the Colts had really mismanaged this, and with some of the onus is on Luck for playing through what was a screwed-up shoulder he shouldn't have been playing through. It was others in the organization that allowed him to do that. It was also the organization that never got the offensive line right that allowed him to be knocked down on seemingly every drop back. So whatever it was, there was blame to go around, and you were worried about this guy's career. And then yesterday, things really got ratcheted up a notch on the disgust-o-meter as Tony Dungy relays that Jim Irsay, the owner of the Indianapolis Colts, Mr. Pills, Mr. Speed,
Mr. Brown Paper Bag,
Mr. Red Face, says that Andrew Luck's injury is, quote, inside his head.
Mr. Irsay's back on his meds.
Now, I don't. How did you read this? Because I can see some people saying that. Oh man, this injury is like it's now more mental for him than physical. What I read it as is he's saying that he's mentally ill now. Like it, and that's
no,
why.
No, I didn't read it in that vein. I read it as one, loose lips sink ships. Tony Dungy, what the hell are you doing disclosing this? Secondly, yes, once you're coming off a significant injury, a significant surgery, it's going to be in your head. You're going to tread lightly. You're going to be worried somewhat that you may re-injure that particular area. So, yeah, there's going to be some trepidation on your part, but eventually you get rolling and doctors continue to tell you, hey, you're good. You're clear to go out and do everything you want to do. But still, there's going to be some compunction on your part to not go as fast and as hard as you ordinarily would, because you're still not sure in your brain, but eventually you get there. So that's how I read it.
All right.
Well, I read it as that, okay, the guy is fine, but there's still some hesitation. But that being said, for him to come out and say that about a guy who has played with injuries throughout his career there with the Colts, or at least the last few seasons, a guy who's put his body on the line, and to say that it's in his head, was it in his head when he was out there busting his ass for you with a broken shoulder, when you hadn't providing with any protection? Were you worried about what was in his head then? What was in your head? What was in your former GM's head when you wouldn't surround him with anyone to make sure he stayed upright in the pocket?
Yeah.
We know what was in Ursay's head. We know.
Yeah,
we
know. Lots of Vicodin. Yeah.
Yes.
So, I mean, I still am reading this like his shoulder's fine. His injury is in his head. Like, no. I'm still, that's what I got.
How can he say that if the doctors even said there's inflammation there? we're going to shut him down.
Because he's nuts. That's why. I'm telling you, because he has this mentality of he should be out there. He's our big investment. You know, tough guys would be out there throwing a ball around. That I'm losing money. That's probably what he's thinking. Right? And it, which is crazy. I mean, I would be, I mean, for him to be angry, I get. Be angry at Ryan Grigson, who's no longer there, who could be the worst general manager on earth. You know, be angry at some of the decision-making and the medical advice that was going on. I mean, to be angry at Andrew Luck at all, or to question Andrew Luck at all, like, this guy is not going to do whatever it takes to be out there, or he's going to have some sort of mental hurdle that he can't get over, and that's why he's not on the field, I mean, is totally insulting.
I agree. And that's your franchise player. Why are you calling him out? Of all people to call out. A guy, once again, that has put his body on the line for you. A guy who said nothing that's been out of sort. He's always given you the company line. He's always been a good promoter of the organization. He's done nothing. And he's played hurt.
Yeah.
Multiple seasons hurt. He hasn't complained about the shoddy offensive line play, and yet you take shots at that guy?
So Tony Dungy's in a tough spot. So Dungy is in the media. He's got these connections. Now, I don't like Tony Dungy. I've said this numerous times. I mean, that some of his takes on the world are abhorrent to me. So he has this information from Jim Irsay that he knows, he should know, he better know, that's explosive and could also ruin whatever relationship may be left between owner and player.
Yep.
And he chooses to make this public. Now, if you're in that same spot and you're getting paid as an analyst and you have this information, how do you handle it? Now, Dungy, this was to the Dan Patrick show.
Yeah.
Right? So he was on that show. So this is why that's important. Because he wasn't even on the show that pays him. Now, I know that he works with Patrick on NBC on Sunday nights.
Right, right.
And I know that there's an affiliation there with Patrick's show and NBC and all that stuff. But it's not like he was given that information and then used it on the platform in which he gets his paycheck. So that has to factor into the discussion as well. What would you have done in that same situation?
Well, I think you share the information, but you don't disclose who gave you the information. You never share your sources. You say, hey, I have it on good faith, and I've corroborated this, and the person who shared this information to me couch it any way, but except for the way that Tony Dungy did, by saying the owner told me this about his quarterback. And he should know better than that. There are a lot of things I'm sure that transpired when he was there with Peyton Manning that he didn't share with the media, and he wouldn't want anyone else to share with the media. And there's a big old sign in every locker room that states what's said here stays here. And he knows that from all the years he played and coached football. And so I would have handled it totally different. I share inside information here all the damn time. You don't get any names.
So does this factor in your mind too? Because I don't know if you ever watched that show on TV. So the
Which show?
The Dan Patrick show.
No.
So the Dan Patrick show has got all these guys. It's like Patrick and like 50 employees.
Right. Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah.
So they'll go to commercial on TV, and then they'll come back for like 30 seconds or 15 seconds during the commercial break, and it's like them loitering mm-hmm. and like shooting a basketball or, you know, some lame conversation, whatever it is, right? So like the behind the scenes look.
Mm-hmm.
Now this Dungy quote comes from one of those commercial cut-ins.
Okay.
So they come back for commercial, they're all standing around, whatever, you know, and then you hear Dungy say that, I don't know what's going on there. Jim Irsay made a comment to me about 6 weeks ago. It's inside his head now. So, I mean, do you give Dungy a pass because maybe he didn't know that that was being recorded and broadcast because it was a commercial cut?
That's his only out. That's his only out. Is that one.
But I mean,
but he's been on that show how many times?
Probably a lot.
Right. Over the last few years, however long they've been doing Sunday Night Football.
And if they're not telling their guests that, hey, you be careful because, mm-hmm. and I'm sure that they, because the way that they stage these commercial cut-ins, they're all like, you know, tossing a football to each other. Hey, look, coming over here. Mm-hmm. Hey, do I look like Durant? Yeah, that's what they do. So they, there's no way that they don't know that they're coming back at that moment.
Right.
Right? Like, because if you're telling me that that's just random coming back, like no one's ever picking their nose or cursing or like looking at porn on their computer, like it never happens. Right? It's always
hey,
like,
Tony, look at this.
Yeah. Like, ah! He's just throwing holy water at the laptops. You know, but
Josh McCown was right.
Who am I? Where am I? You know, so I'm not going to look at that as an excuse because I'm just picturing. You know, everything in TV, and you know this better than anybody, everything in TV, and this is a radio show that's on TV, but it's also a TV production. Everything in TV is so friggin' calculated, you know? Mm-hmm. You're telling me there isn't a guy like walking around the camera like, 3, 2, 1, you know? And then they're like, oh, hey, look at me. This is me shooting a free throw. Like, so I don't take that as an excuse.
No.
So, there you go.
That's, as I said, it's the only out he has. And he's been on that show multiple times, numerous times. And so he has to be keenly aware that that's what's happening and this is going to go over the airwaves. So it's surprising to me that he would disclose that info.
So on, what was it, Monday, because we were going to play it yesterday and didn't get to it. So on Monday, Bill O'Brien has a press conference, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was a press conference. It wasn't a conference call. I think he was actually at the podium. And he is asked this question.
So Kaepernick has been discussed by you guys?
Oh, yeah. I mean, everybody gets discussed. Is that a problem? Isn't that the way most teams do it?
What makes you think that
people seem shocked by that.
Well, there was another part of this that I thought we were getting to. Not that he was discussed, but he said and that he hadn't. The excuse that he gave was that he hadn't played in a long time. So he said that that's why Kaepernick, once he was discussed, they had moved on from him because, hey.
He hadn't played in almost a year?
He hadn't played in a long time.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So guess who the Houston Texans went out and got yesterday.
Yeah, a guy who hasn't thrown a pass in the regular season since 2011.
2011?
Yeah, that's a long... Let's see, I'm just counting. Let's see, this is 2017, right?
Yeah.
You know, I get confused.
Right.
This is 2017. As he was, carried a two. Yeah, that's been a long time. That's six
right.
years.
Yeah. Is Bill O'Brien working for Colin Kaepernick's lawyers? Because if I am one of Kaepernick's lawyers, I am taking that bit of information of, yeah, we discussed him. He hasn't played in a long time. Oh, and they signed Josh Johnson, who hasn't played since 2011 or hasn't taken a snap in a game since 2011, and going, oh, how about this now?
Mm-hmm.
Now what do you say? So it's just at this point, I understand that once the lawsuit happened, there was no chance he was getting a job.
Right.
I understood that. And I also understood that even prior to that, there was probably no chance he was getting a job. All right? And we've disagreed with those reasons, and we think it's ridiculous. Fine. But for these coaches to blatantly lie about it and angrily with a chip on their shoulder is the stuff that's really annoying me now.
Thank you, and we've been saying that from day one. Just come out and put your name on it and say, no, we're not going to bring him in. We disagree with this or that, and just be done with it. But to him and Haw and give us these crazy reasons why. Now, Bill O'Brien, to his credit, from everyone I've heard from down in Texas and in Houston, they say he's on the player's side in this deal because he has to answer to the higher-ups. And we know how Bill McNair feels about the
Bob
players.
McNair, yeah.
I mean, Bob McNair. And so, but you got, just come out of the woodwork. Put your name on it.
Yeah.
Tell us tell us to our face, be a man about it. You know, Mike McCarthy, I'm going to roll with the guys in his locker room. I've taught them and developed them, and yet you're out trading for another guy who ends up with the New England Patriots. And all these guys that are being signed who have done nothing in this league, and yet a guy who you've tried to conjure up every damn lame excuse possible to say he can't play, can't read defenses, he's bad, his overall record 3-13, as if he was the only one on the damn team, and 16 touchdowns and 4 interceptions mean nothing. It's just ludicrous, and they're tying themselves in knots trying to come up with a rationale as to why, when we know the reason why he's not being signed.
Well, how about this? Say I'm going to defer that question to ownership at
Rick,
that point.
Yeah, Rick Smith, the GM, or Bob McNair.
Right. I mean, I'm not going to answer that question. I mean, or it's just the blatant lying and the anger lying about it. Like, you want to deflect, deflect. If you want to not say anything, don't say anything. All right, I get it. It's a delicate thing now. But to be like, oh, he hasn't played in a while. Or McCarthy. Well, we're happy with the guys in our quarterback room. We like the guys in our quarterback room.
Did you hear me?
I got a lot invested in the guys in our quarterback room. I got a lot invested in Brett Hundley. Like, bull crap, Mike. All right? Come on. Got a lot invested in Billy McCallaface.
McClutherness. Yeah,
Billy McClutherness has been in that quarterback room back there. He's been back there in that quarterback room.
We got hope in him.
For 30 years now. You probably didn't even know we had a 55-year-old quarterback on our practice squad. Now, he's been wanting to get off that practice squad, get out there and play, but, you know, he's old now. But I got a lot invested in him, all right? He was here before Brett Favre was here. And he wants his opportunity.
McClellan is.
You guys didn't even know about Dale Balls hair nose man. You didn't know about him either, huh? He's been here in this organization. We drafted him 7th round pick. 2010.
McClellan is.
We got a lot invested in him, too. All right. Coming up next, Will Brinson will join us. We're probably we're late now, so I don't know. You calling Brinson?
I'm calling Will.
All right, so we'll be good. Then we can take him and, you know, we can do all that. We'll be all right. Bogus and a Bogus update. I was going to say in a Brinson update. Bogus update and Will Brinson next.
Greg Giannotti, Brian Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Stay woke.
He just needed the day to progress a little bit faster for him. He just took a while to get into the day.
Plodding along.
Yeah, just right. It was plodding, and now it's moving. Now he's good. He shook it off. He had an anniversary yesterday, didn't you, or something like that?
I met Bridget 2 years ago yesterday.
Oh, look at that. Anniversary time. Mm. Love. Mm. You know about that, Brian?
Nope.
About that love?
Nope.
Mm-hmm. So?
It's overrated.
So what's going to happen now, man?
We mosey along.
Mosey along, you keep going. She putting
2 years.
Putting pressure on you?
No pressure at all.
Have well, because you went through a horrible situation, she probably understands. Like,
oh, yeah, of course.
You're a little bit calloused by...
You're over that.
But I'm over it, yeah.
I hope so.
I
hope so.
I mean, they already live together. They're basically
right, they're
married.
Shacking.
Yeah. Common law.
Yeah, it's going very well.
It's going well?
So she doesn't, like, have her mother or anybody pressuring you, or she's not pressuring you?
No one pressures me.
All right. All right, good.
No one pressures me.
Yeah, no one pressures Pete.
Why buy
no
the calf?
Pressure Pete.
Why buy the calf? The milk is free, right?
All right.
There you go.
So is that something you want to do, is get married again at some point?
Oh, yeah, eventually.
Okay. All right. We'll
just, why?
Just not now.
To her?
Well, yeah.
Why? What do you mean? Why would he want to get married again? What's the the problem?
What did I just say? What was the question I posed earlier? A moment ago.
The calf.
Why buy buy the cow
if the pig's in the barn? Exactly. So think about that. All right, Bogus.
Why buy the pig if the slop is free, right?
Yes, yes.
You go ahead, you heathen. They're going to kick you out of that party you like.
Jeez.
Shacking.
That means nothing. Georgia, Alabama, Notre Dame, and Clemson atop the college football playoff rankings for the second straight week. Then Oklahoma again. Then the changing begins with TCU and Miami at 6-7 following Saturday's losses from Ohio State and Penn State. They fall to 13-14. Our boy Crispy at it again at MSG.
High screen from KP. Neely Keener with two to shoot. Porzingis for three. Yes! From straight on. And the Knicks are up 114-111. Timeout, Steve Clifford.
Ed Cohen on Knicks Radio. Chris Stapps. Porzingis scored 7 of his 28 points.
Is that the debut of Ed Cohen on
No, there
Gio
was one
Jones?
When you were out last week and Randy was here.
Okay.
Porzingis scored 7 of his 28 points in the final 2.5 minutes for a 118-113 defeat of the Hornets. Doug McDermott thinks Porzingis is fairly good.
Yeah, I have a guy like KP who, you know, is playing the best basketball in the NBA. Borderline.
The Cavs outscored the Bucks 124-119. The Spurs handled the Clippers 120-107. The Kings down the Thunder 94-86 to end a 7-game slide. Memphis escaping Portland 98-97. The Mavs won in D.C. 113-99. Dallas has won 9 straight there. The baseball world still trying to make sense of Roy Halladay's death yesterday. The 40-year-old two-time Cy Young died when his plane crashed into the Gulf of Mexico off the Florida coast about 18 hours ago. Cole Hamels among Halladay's many heartbroken former teammates.
We play this game, and then you get to go to your family and spend time with your family. And to be able to see that it's cut short for somebody that was, you know, such a good person, we're really, really going to miss him.
Few details of the crash are known this morning. The NTSB is investigating. And from the NFL, Vikings QB Sam Bradford could go on IR as soon as today when Teddy Bridgewater comes off the PUP list. Bradford reportedly had his left knee scoped yesterday. Guys?
I mean, both those guys, man, with these injuries. They got the skinniest legs. They got the four of the skinniest legs you've ever seen.
Yep.
Bradford and Bridgewater. I just hope that Bridgewater can come back and do something. All right, here he is, Will Brinson, CBS Sports senior NFL writer and the Pick Six podcast. He is one of the hosts of that with Pete Prisco and JLC and Nick Costos and other people. Will, what's happening, man? Good morning.
Morning, guys. Hope you're doing well. You can now follow the Pick Six podcast on Twitter at Pick Six Pod. I think it's tweeted at this point. Maybe we got a new podcast. It just came out a few minutes ago, so check it out.
What did you open with on that podcast? What was the most interesting thing that happened during this week that you decided to lead with on the podcast?
Well, we actually play this game. It's pretty fun. It's called Clicks or Giggles, and Nick and I come up with hot takes, and Jason and Pete have to judge if they are, like, if it's a hot take or if it's an actual, or if it's just right.
Okay.
And then they have to guess who came up with it. So, okay. Like one was like, the Colts should trade Andrew Luck and go forward with Jacoby Brissett, and, you know, something like that. And, it's mostly funny just to see how elevated we can make these hot takes and how Pete and Jason react to them.
Well, I mean, how about that? I mean, we've got 3 quarterbacks now. Like
that was a segue, by the way.
Yeah, right. I know. We got 3 quarterbacks in. I mean, I saw that one of the big ESPN personnel, I'll just say it, Dan Lebatard, who's friends with Aaron Rodgers, basically said that he should want out of Green Bay. I saw that, you know, Eli Manning, we've seen this entire week, maybe he's done in New York because they need to turn the page there. And then Andrew Luck shouldn't want to be on the Colts anymore with everything that's going on. Are any of those realistic possibilities in your mind of guys moving on from their current situations?
Eli is realistic. Andrew Luck is not going anywhere because of the contract that he got. And Aaron Rodgers is not going anywhere either. I hadn't heard Dan Lebatard say that. I don't doubt Dan Lebatard at all. He's typically speaks the truth, pretty unvarnished. But I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to leave Green Bay. That's a grass is greener situation.
And let me just clarify. I mean, it's not that that came from Rodgers. It was his opinion that he should want out of there because of what's going on. So it's not like Rodgers went to him and said, I want out.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, it's not crazy. I don't think the Packers aren't bad. They're just, like most NFL teams, pretty dependent on their quarterback, right? I mean, to answer your question, Eli could move on. If the Giants decide, and I think it's becoming increasingly likely that they could decide this, that they need to do a full-blown rebuild. And that means blow it up with, you know, you get rid of Ben McAdoo, who appears to have lost the team. You get rid of Jerry Reese, who has done a pretty horrendous job building around Eli and generally constructing a roster. And you say, Eli, it's been great. We got to find somebody else. Let's keep moving. They're going to have a top five pick. Now, it's very possible that they decide to keep Eli to get the top five pick and to groom somebody for next year. Eli might not want to do that. Eli might want to go play for a contender. I mean, there are some places out there, Jacksonville, Denver. I can't believe I'm saying that, Jacksonville. but where if he went – he could help put him over the top. And you know, we're talking about next year, so things could change. But there are certainly options out there for Eli insofar as maybe finding a spot if he wanted to. I think that ultimately the Giants will want to have Eli for the full duration of his career, and so they'll figure out a way to make it work. I don't think Eli's going to play or hang on as long as Peyton. I can just see him just not leaving the game earlier just because of his skill set. But, yeah, I mean, like, there are spots for him to go if they wanted to move on. Rodgers and Luck, I don't think they're going anywhere.
Hey, Will, I know for a long time Josh Norman was the heel or the most talkative, I should say, defensive back in the league. Is Jalen Ramsey now the young player there at Jacksonville who you just referenced? Is he now becoming the most trash-talking player in football? We saw this fight the other day between he and A.J. Green. He's gotten into it with other players as well.
Yeah, it takes a lot to get A.J. Green mad. I mean, A.J. Green is a pretty calm, mild-mannered. I mean, he's, you know, obviously a fiery football player, but I mean, he's not, you know, he's not out there trash talking people. If you can get A.J. Green to chokehold you from behind and punch you twice in the head, you've done something pretty. If you get anybody to chokehold you and punch you twice in the head, you've said something or done something pretty aggressive. I think Ramsey is out there and he's out there and he is wrecking havoc for receivers, and that's just part of his game, and that's what great cornerbacks do. He might be pushing the envelope a little bit. We can't be entirely sure, but Tom Coughlin came out and gave him a verbal endorsement or with a written statement that the Jaguars released, which is not something you typically see Tom Coughlin do. So maybe he's and look, he's backing it up. I mean, he is, you know, he's a great player. He was my midseason defensive player of the year pick. He is tremendous. He has the third lowest passer rating against, according to Pro Football Focus. And he's been, people have targeted him more because he's going up against these number one receivers. He's the next great defensive back. So, yes, he is. Yes, he is trash talking people. Yes, he's getting in receivers' heads. And yes, he's doing a great job playing cornerback. Unless he's crossed the line, which you can't know until A.J. Green tells us or somebody else tells us, then you just have to assume that he is just playing so well and being so physically aggressive that he's getting in people's heads, but he's doing it without drawing too many flags. So, I mean, I guess good job, Jalen. I don't know. What else do you say? Tip your cap.
Gio and Jones with Will Brinson across the country on CBS Sports Radio. Check out Will on Twitter and the Pick 6 Pod, him and the other very, very talented, funny, and informed CBS NFL personalities. What could go wrong for the Philadelphia Eagles other than the obvious of important guys getting hurt? Because right now it doesn't look like they've got any sort of flaws whatsoever.
Yeah, the injury thing is really about the only thing. I think the secondary is probably susceptible. If you can get a team that has, like, I think the Cowboys are going to be interesting because they haven't played the Cowboys yet, right? And this front seven with Fletcher Cox and Timmy Jernigan and Brandon Graham, Vinnie Curry, Derek Barnett, I mean, they are loaded to bear. And they got waves of guys that are coming at you. Jernigan and Cox are playing out of their minds. I mean, they're busting. I mean, they're getting past guys and destroying interior offensive linemen, and these pass rushers are just making life hell for opposing quarterbacks. So if, I mean, you know, if there were several injuries there, clearly I think there's a major trickle down effect if they would lose guys on the interior offensive line. But also, if you go up against a team like the Cowboys, who have a really good offensive line, running the ball well, and have receivers who can at least get open downfield, I think it starts to become, you know, maybe you could look at that as an issue. So that will be interesting to watch coming out of the bye. How do they play against the Cowboys? They have to play the Cowboys twice. Dallas, really the only team that can chase them down in that division with those two games. Philly can, you know, they can either make up a ton of ground or Philly can knock them out of the playoffs, one of the two. Carson Wentz is probably going to see some touchdown regression. He's averaging like 8% of touchdowns on 8% of his throws, which is just too high. But he's playing well. You know, Chris Harris said it, this is a college offense. He wasn't insulting it. It's just they run a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. Carson Wentz is operating well. You know, you see that touchdown, the first touchdown pass to Alshon Jeffrey. They run a read option with an RPO, a run pass option built in, and basically Carson Wentz decides to keep it, and Jeffrey's standing at the line of scrimmage waiting to see what Wentz is going to do. And when he realizes when he sees Wentz keep it, he takes off running. Aqib Talib is looking in the backfield to figure out if he needs to play run defense, and all of a sudden he has to play pass defense. You know, these are things that are college. You know, it is a college it's a fundamental play that came from college and trickled up to the NFL. It's difficult to defend because you have to be, you know, not just good at your job as a defender, but you also have to be aware of what's going on. It just adds another layer to what's going on. Now, some people could call it gimmicky. It's not lining up and running it down your throat. But the problem with the Eagles, when you add Jay Ajayi in there, is that they have an ability to score quickly. And if they get up on you, you're in trouble because they have Ajayi and they have LeGarrette Blount as these physical running backs. They lost Jason Peters, but the offensive line is playing really well. Lane Johnson, there's a gif on the internet of him tossing Von Miller like a rag doll with one arm. It's incredible. And they have that defensive line that they can pin their ears back. So you can't get down to them, and you have to have a great offensive line, and you have to be able to challenge the secondary. Good luck in having those things. Most teams don't. So it's hard to imagine a scenario where the Eagles are not one of the top two seeds in the NFC. And then it just comes down to, does somebody have a great game against him in the playoffs?
Is it hard to imagine the Falcons defeating my Cowboys? Your buddy Prisco, he's our buddy too sometimes. He doesn't believe it's going to be difficult. Or maybe he believes it's going to be difficult, but he thinks the Falcons will deliver.
I don't understand that line. The Falcons are -3. The Cowboys are, I mean, does Vegas know that Zeke is going to be suspended? Because the Cowboys are better. The Cowboys defense is playing better than it has been. I mean, like DeMarcus Lawrence playing his tail off. You know, David Irving's playing really well. They got some players. Taco Charlton got a sack, and the offense is just operating efficiently. Zeke Elliott is running like he ran in 2016. Dak Prescott is. I need to look at his odds coming into this week. He's the guy to watch for MVP too, because if Zeke misses six games. And Wentz sort of trails off a little bit, and Brady, if people have voter fatigue with Brady, and Russell doesn't play exceptionally well, and Alex Smith and the Chiefs trail off a little bit, and Dak gets the Cowboys in the playoffs without Zeke, those are some MVP odds worth watching, especially if they're above 10-1. I would, you know, I just think that the Cowboys are a better team than the Falcons. Now, the Falcons beat up on the Packers. That's the one aberration game we've seen from them. They beat up on the Packers in that home opener. But other than that, they've been a team that moves the ball but can't close and doesn't execute well near the end zone. Julio Jones and Matt Ryan aren't on the same page. They need this one. They're desperate. I mean, that's the best reason I think Pete gave for why the Falcons will beat the Cowboys is they're desperate, and he keeps saying they'll figure it out. That's not how that works. You're not just going to figure it out. I mean, like, you hope you will, but that's like when my wife is like, she's like, you know, I lost my phone me. I'm like, where is it? She's like, well, I don't know, but it'll turn up. Like, no, it's not just going to turn up. It's going to find it. Hey, honey, have you seen the Falcons offense? No, I'm sure it'll turn up. Like, no, it's not just going to turn up. It has to get fixed. And I don't know that it's going to be immediately fixed. I like the Cowboys in that game.
We have about a minute left here, Will, and I've got one of these hot takes for you, all right? And you tell me how realistic this is, all right? Teddy Bridgewater comes back for the Minnesota Vikings, is unbelievable in his return, and leads that team to a home Super Bowl appearance in February of 2018.
I might steal that one for next week. It's not quite just right. It's a little. It's on the
fantastical.
Yeah, it's not boiling over, but it's the only reason it's not a hot take is because it's like such a magical storyline that I'll buy into it.
Yeah,
and it is possible.
I know.
Teddy Bridgewater. I mean, he's what are we now? Trying to do the math. 15 months removed from his injury. Is that right?
Maybe it sounds about right. Yeah.
I mean, you know, it was a horrific injury by all accounts. Guys were getting sick on the field when it happened. Yeah. Everybody thought his career might be over that day. Yeah, that's enough. He's done a great job recovering. That's enough time to recover. I think they're going to still try to slow play it. Sounds like Sam Bradford's probably going to be done. You know, that's another story entirely. And they can keep winning with this defense. It's not crazy. I mean, you know, you talk about who could beat Philadelphia. Minnesota doesn't match up very well on the offensive side of the ball, but defensively they can limit the Eagles. You know, they can hold the Eagles offense down, and if they do that and scrap together some points, they can win playoff games. And it's not out of the question, I don't suppose, that Minnesota could get a bye. You know, they could be the number 2 seed in the NFC if Teddy Bridgewater comes back and the offense starts clicking. So, sure. I don't think there's a I'd say it's like a 5% chance, just because those things are hard to. You're asking for a crazy confluence of events, but it's not that hot a take.
Yeah, so use it next week, man. Just give me credit, all right, on the Pick Six podcast.
I'm stealing it.
All right, nice. I love it. All right, well, thanks for the time as always, man. We'll be checking out the new podcast. It's got its own Twitter page, Pick Six Pod at Pick Six Pod. Is that it?
That's it. You got it, guys.
All right, very good. See you later, Will.
There's
look at that, a little baby at the end.
There you go.
Perfect timing with the baby at the end that time. All right. Usually the baby in the middle. We got the baby at the end. That baby's learning.
Baby has good timing.
We're coming right back.
Follow us on Twitter at Gio and Jones.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Georgia Tech basketball is just out of this world. All right, so there's a guy named Ron Bell.
Mm-hmm.
He's a longtime friend of Josh Pastner, who was the basketball coach there at Georgia Tech. We've had on this show before a couple of times, I think. And Ron Bell was, you know, a booster to the program, a friend to the program, a friend to Pastner.
Yeah.
So Bell, he's also had like some weird stuff happen to him. He's been in jail before. Like he's got a little bit of
spent 4 years in jail.
Dicey past, right? So Bell, he starts to get annoyed because Pastner, in his words, failed to compensate him properly for the work he's done for the program. And you ready for this one? Pastner didn't call him on his birthday. And he also said that he had an issue with operations manager at Georgia Tech, Ellie Kentker. I don't know. And Ellie. And that Pastner took her side in the argument and not Ron's side.
Mm-hmm.
So what does Ron go and do? This Ron Bell, who was in jail for 4 years. He goes and just totally opens up the floodgates. Says, I paid for these players' dinners. I had them over my house. I gave them X amount of dollars. The cap that you're supposed to have, or no, but the number that Pastner gave out that I paid, it was way more than that because Pastner tried to get ahead of this thing.
Yep.
There's pictures of two of these guys in the dude's pool on floats.
Yep.
He sends that out. This jilted.
Yeah. Grown-ass man.
B-word.
Yeah.
I mean, come
on. It's unbelievable.
Jilted is an understatement. You're a grown man, and what do you want him to do? He didn't call you on your birthday? Who cares? I don't want any calls on my birthday. I don't want to be reminded I'm getting old. This is amazing. This relationship goes back a couple of decades when Pastor was in Arizona and Bell, I guess his uncle or somebody was close to Lute Olson, then legendary basketball coach there at Arizona. So he's been close to that program for a while and apparently gave, I guess, $700, over a little less than $700, a little less than $500 to a couple of players who were there at Georgia Tech. And now this guy is so upset because Pastner is not – return or reciprocated the overtures to it's just stupid.
I know.
And you're grown and you're worried about something like this. Now you're going to just get everyone busted because you can't handle your emotions and feelings.
Now, I don't know anything about this Ron Bell, but this is it's a very easy thing to say right now that this is why when you are in collegiate athletics, no matter how tempting it is, try to stay away from the shady characters.
Yeah.
You know, the guys who spend multiple years in the clink.
Yeah.
Like, those are the guys
He had a little drug problem. He was battling prescription drugs. Okay.
Yeah. 4 years for battling prescription drugs? There had to be something else going on there. Mm. 4 years?
4 years.
For prescription drug abuse? Yeah. I don't think so.
Well, that's what it says.
You don't get thrown in jail for drugs.
He was battling. He had an addiction, and he was battling, and he.
You're telling
violated
me,
probation a few times.
Is this guy? Well, okay.
Maybe. Just going by what they're saying here.
Okay. Whatever. He's still a guy who's in the clink for 4 years, and he's got a whole bunch of money, obviously. So maybe you stay away from those guys.
Yeah.
But anyway, this guy comes out of this. This Ron Bell comes out of this looking like the biggest wuss on earth.
A wimp.
You know.
I need friends. Buying his friends.
Now, I want to know if Pastor maybe texted him and didn't call him on the birthday or just totally ignored him. So that's something I need to know. You know, if he texted him, he did his duty at that point.
Right.
You know?
I should probably gave him a shout-out on Facebook or something.
I don't even know your birthday. Is it January?
Yeah.
17th?
No. You were close. 22nd.
22nd.
I know yours, and for one reason only.
Yeah, because of the wife.
Yep.
The estranged wife has the same birthday.
Yep.
It's What's how do you say June in Spanish?
Uno.
Uno days. Mikey B, I have no idea when his birthday is.
May 10th.
May 10th. I should remember that. Bogus, no idea.
Look at you.
Pete,
May 10th
no idea.
And June 10th.
Sorry, guys.
Angry man.
January 19th.
Oh, happy birthday. Gio and Jones, CBS Sports Radio.